And in light of talking about such nice televisions, we're going to talk about prospering today. Who would like to prosper in their life? Raise your hand. Who would like to prosper in their life? Okay. If you're not raising your hand, you're just a stinking liar. So we all want to prosper, right? Let's face it. We all want to prosper. And let's look at the scriptures that begin today, Nitzavim, Deuteronomy 29:9. Let's see what it says. Deuteronomy 29:9. It says this: carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything that you do. Now, when we say that we want to prosper in everything that you do, I mean, prosperity can probably mean different things to different people. So I want some ideas here. Just yell, when you think of prosperity or you think of prospering, what do you think of? Just yell out some concepts here. What does it mean to prosper? Yell it out so I can hear you. What is it? Health. Okay, that's good. What else? What?
Growing.
Growing? What else?
Favor.
Favor. What else? Got to yell it out. I can't hear. Right, financial success, very good. What else? Anything else? Right, having children and having children who grow up and not be, you know, criminals, right? That would be prospering. And so, and these are all really great examples, right? In other words, these are good, and this is what the scripture means when it says that we will, if we keep this covenant that God has given to us, we will prosper. And now when we list everything that's been listed here, how could anybody want anything else? In other words, when you list all these wonderful things that one can have, how can we want anything else? But as we can see here in the scriptures that we just read, is that prosperity is conditional. In other words, it's conditioned upon following the covenant or the contract that God has with us. And the terms of this contract are not complex. Now, I don't know if you, I'm sure many of you have read today's contracts, right? Real estate contracts or purchase contracts. I mean, those things are incredibly complex. I mean, it's amazing. Sentences sometimes run on, one sentence will run on for 10 lines. It's hard to believe you can have a sentence like that. Or they'll use 10 words for one word in most contracts. So it's almost like it's crazy. And then there's also hidden provisions in contracts. And so contracts can be incredibly complicated. But about the Lord, that's not the case. Let's look at Deuteronomy 29:29. This is what the Lord says. Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Contracts, right? No. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. The things that the Lord reveals to us are clear. They're not complicated. They're eminently knowable because he wants his ways known to us, so they're not like reading a real estate contract or something like that. But at times, let's be honest, at times, it appears the Lord's provisions or commandments to us appear irrational, right? Sometimes they do, like keeping the Sabbath day. Especially in a society that doesn't keep the Sabbath, like this society, right? And so it means to keep the Sabbath not working. So that means for people who are serious about keeping the Sabbath, that means you can't take a job on Saturday. That knocks out most retail positions in this and so on. So it seems irrational, but God promises that if you follow his commandments, you'll receive prosperity. You're not going to lose, but you're going to gain. And so you do that by faith. The same is true with giving. Like when Ken's up here and each week, you know, comes up with some creative thing to say about tithing and giving. And you know, let's be honest. If you give away a tenth of your money, you have one tenth less than you had before, right? Real simple. But God says when you give, you'll receive back in abundance more. It doesn't make any sense, right? It's irrational, but it's God's way. Because God's ways are higher. And in fact, that's what it even says in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 55. This is what he says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We need to recognize God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. Sometimes, to those who don't know the Lord, it looks like the way we live is completely crazy. In fact, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is what Paul says. He says this, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. In other words, that there is something that might seem crazy to the world, but God's wisdom supersedes that wisdom. You know, it's interesting. Newtonian physics, the physics that was created by Sir Isaac Newton, it ruled the world for at least 200 years. It helped to explain the great deal about what happens around life. He basically taught and helped us to understand the principles of gravity. He said that every action has an equal and a proportionate reaction to it, or an opposite reaction to that particular action. He helped explain our world in scientific terms. I mean, it's amazing what he was able to accomplish, and much of the modern era is beholden to Sir Isaac Newton's findings in physics. Two centuries later, Albert Einstein came along and showed that some of Newton's laws were false. And where are they false? They're false in space. In other words, in daily life, the life that most of us live, Newtonian physics is totally and completely applicable. But when you go out into space, it's not the case. And so if the space programmed used Newtonian physics to try to go to the moon back in the 60s and 70s, they would have missed by thousands of miles. It needed Einstein's physics to be able to get there. Just like Newton's followers panned Einstein's theories when they first came out, because they didn't seem to make any sense. They were so bizarre and so forth. So those who don't know God often pan his principles, and they say God's principles are nonsensical in the same way. But the reality is this, is that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher and a greater reality than what we're living in on this planet Earth. And just like Einstein's theory was a higher level of physics than Newton's theories, so are God's ways a higher level than man's ways. And what's interesting, though, is unlike Einstein's theories, which are very difficult to understand, God's ways are simple, and they're very straightforward. Let's examine this in Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It's interesting how the Psalms introduce, this is the introductory psalm to all of the 150 psalms that are in the scriptures. And it's interesting how it begins. Let's see how it says. It says this. Blessed, the word blessed in Hebrew is ashrei. It also means happy. So in other words, blessed or happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. In other words, you're happy or you're blessed if you don't do these particular kinds of things. Well, what things could he be talking about? Well, let's look interestingly back in Deuteronomy 29, which is our portion today from the Torah. This is what it says in verse 19. It says, when such a person hears the words of this oath, he invokes a blessing on himself and therefore thinks, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my own way. It's like we say this. It's comparable to say, oh, well, you know, look, God loves me, or God doesn't really care that much. You know, I'm a good person, and quite frankly, I can do whatever I want to do, and God is ultimately going to forgive me. Well, it may be true. God may forgive you. But see, Newton is right here. He's accurate in his physics right here, because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And the scripture takes Newtonian physics and gives it a little twist, and it says, whatever you sow, you're going to also reap. That's basically what it is. Whatever you sow, you're going to also reap. Let's take a perfect example. Let's take adultery. Now, you know, almost everybody agrees that adultery is wrong. Even those who are not religious, they recognize adultery is just out and out wrong. Then why do people engage in it? That's one of the big questions. Well, there's a lot of reasons why people engage in adultery. Find another person more attractive. That person may understand me better than my spouse. That person might respect me. You know, whatever it might be, there's tons of reasons why people get involved in affairs. But the reality is that once somebody is involved in an adulterous affair, it's super destructive. It's destructive for the marriage. And you know this, what the statistics show? Is that if you decide to get married to the person that you had the affair with, 90% of those marriages fail. 90%. Isn't that amazing? You see, this is what I'm talking about, is that God has certain ways that are particularly clear, and a person says, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to do my own thing or whatever it might be, and it doesn't have to be adultery, it can be multiple things, but whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That's the reality. But let's see what it says here back in Psalm 1, verses 2 and following. It says this, talking about the blessed person. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. And notice this, the end of this verse, whatever he does, he prospers. You see, there's prosperity again. In other words, what is it dependent upon? It's dependent upon somebody who reads and meditates on the words of the Lord. Now, why is that the case? Why is that so important? Well, Yeshua says later, he describes God's words as seeds. And seeds grow, and they eventually blossom. You see, often when we read or we hear God's word, whatever it might be, maybe it doesn't impress us. You might come out of here today and say, ah, that wasn't much of a talk, you know, Jamie gave. I was like, oh, well, whatever. I can just kind of snooze through this. It doesn't really matter. Whatever it might be. It doesn't really make a difference. It doesn't seem particularly relevant to me. Or you might be reading the scriptures. It doesn't seem, you know, just whatever. Kind of boring, blah, blah, blah. But if you continue to listen, read, and so on, it begins to grow and to take hold. You might not notice it, but it does. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, we took our oldest daughter, Amy, who's here to college. Actually, next week, she's going to be sharing her story here about the amazing story of her citizenship process and how the Lord dealt with her. It's quite a story. But anyway, we took her to college. The name of her college was Elon University down in North Carolina. Now, the word Elon is Elon in Hebrew, and it was named for the Hebrew term, and it means oak. Okay, it's an oak tree. And so what happens is when the freshmen came to the convocation, the beginning of the freshman year, they gave every freshman an acorn. And then at graduation, when we were there like 3.5 years later, they gave each of the graduates a small little oak sapling. It was about, you know, it was about that big. And so we took that sapling home with us, and we planted it in our backyard. And that was a number of years ago when it happened. Now, it started to grow, and it started to become this pretty significant tree. Now, oaks grow slowly, but now the birds are starting to kind of get into this tree and everything else, and it's becoming quite, you know, it's becoming quite significant. Years from now, this tree is going to be massive. And it's going to be producing tons of acorns, tons of seeds that can further reproduce. This is the same is true of God's words and his ways. We take hold of it, and over time, what's going to happen is it's going to bring you prosperity in all that you do. That's the promise of the words of God, is that they take hold in your life, and they grow, and they bring you prosperity. Reading, studying it, and following it. Others who might know more, quote, know more, they might mock you and say, you know, look, you need to broaden your horizons. You need to experience the world. But you know what the scripture says? Scripture says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's what happens when we live contrary to God's ways. You see, prosperity is assured to those who abide by the contract. It may take a while. It may look different than when you originally conceived it. You'll see it, and others will too. You'll see the prosperity, and others will too. Now, for most of us, however, we don't fully keep the terms of the contract. That's part of the problem. Sometimes we make terrible and ultimately self-destructive decisions in our lives that are wildly contrary to God's word. Many come to the Lord usually out of a point of need in their lives. Sometimes they bottomed out. That's what happens. And of course, God loves what is called the Baal Teshuvah, the man who returns, the one who comes back. God loves that person. In fact, Yeshua talks about the Baal Teshuvah. One of the great stories in the New Testament is the Baal Teshuvah, where a man has two sons, And one of the sons decides to take his inheritance early, goes out, spends it crazily, lives in the world, just goes wild, spends everything, gambles it away, lives on, gives it away to prostitutes, does everything. And finally, he bottoms out, comes to the absolute bottom of his life, is wallowing in a pig pen, and finally comes to his senses, the scripture says, and recognizes that his father has so much more. And even if he came back as a slave in his father's house, he would have so much more. And so the son comes back, and the scripture says that the father is looking and waiting for the son, the Baal Teshuvah, and the son comes back, and he welcomes him, and he gives him special clothes and puts a ring on him and announces a great dinner for him. And it's a great story of a restoration. The Apostle Paul says something similar about a person who's, when he comes, they come to know the Lord. He says this in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I mean, that's great news, but. I want everybody to say with me, but. It's a new beginning, but the path forward is not pain-free. Because when we come into the kingdom of God, when we are a Baal Teshuvah, when we are getting back with the Lord, we bring in baggage, right? Habits, patterns, ways of thinking and reacting that need to be overcome in our lives. This is the reason why God didn't want Adam to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because once it's tested, once that sin, that way that's contrary to the Lord is tested, it begins to spread. And the longer that you're in it, the more it takes over. It's a little bit like the ring in the Lord of the Rings. Remember this, those of you that saw it. The longer the person had on that ring, the more it began to consume the individual and take them over. That's what happens. But if you're diligent, if you're serious about following the Lord, then he's going to give you the power to overcome. The scripture says he gives grace to the lowly. That's the beauty. And we can be free from the fetters of the past, and you will find prosperity as you seek him. I remember years ago that I turned from the plan of the Lord, that the plan that God wanted for me, due to fear. He wanted me to step out in a certain area of my life, and I was just afraid to do it. And so what happened is I wandered away, and when I came back 9 years later, God said this to me. He said, Jamie, he said, look, if I will restore to you the years that you've lost. I will restore to you the plan that I had for you. But the way forward is going to be more difficult than it would have been had you obeyed back then. And you know what? For the next 3 or 4 years, that's exactly the way it was. And sometimes, going through that, it was very, very painful. And there were times when I almost gave up. But I hung in there, and God's promises were fulfilled because he says that he is faithful who promises. That's the wonder of the Lord. He is faithful who promises. Wherever you are now, whether you're following the Lord seriously in your life, maybe half-heartedly, maybe not at all, I want you to know this, that God's ways are straightforward, and he guarantees us that we will prosper if we follow him. But often it's going to be like the oak tree. It's going to take a while to see the fruit. But then, and it's even true for those who've departed from the Lord and come back, you still will see the fruit. That's the beauty. Don't give up. Continue to read and study and meditate on his words and on his ways. And keep his commandments. And then you will see the results with your own eyes. You will have prosperity. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the wondrous promises of your word, O Lord. And Father, we thank you that we can have prosperity in every sense of the word, Lord. Fullness of life, fullness of family life, Lord. Provision for our needs, Lord God. Lord, success in our businesses, whatever it might be, we can have prosperity, Lord, but only if we follow you, Lord. Father, I know there's some in here, Lord, that have not been following you, Lord God. Father, that maybe in name only, And Lord, it's a time for some of us here to be a Baal Teshuvah, Lord God, to return to you, Lord God, to come back to you, to get right with you. Lord, we know that Yeshua is beckoning us, Lord. He says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, shalom, prosperity in your life. And Lord, I pray for any person in here that needs to get right with you, that they would call out to you, Lord, that they would acknowledge you, that Yeshua as Messiah, as Savior, as Lord, as the one who lived for us, died for us, and rose again so that we might know you and have eternal life. And Lord, for those of us who already know you, Lord, that we would, Lord, begin and continue to follow your words, not give up, Lord God, and wait for the prosperity to come about in our lives. Oh, Lord, we thank you because we know you are a God of restoration and you are faithful to all of your promises. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.